Good to be with everybody. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord, to experience His presence, to be with Him, to be with one another in the Lord, something He calls us to. Something that my life has been a lot about. But I want to thank Pastor Tim for the opportunity to share the word. It's always a privilege. And thank the Lord for the beautiful worship service that we had, bringing us into the presence of God. Give the Lord glory. God bless the worship team and Pastor Whitney. God's anointing is on you in such a beautiful way, and I just enjoy the presence that is ministered through you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 16. I want to begin with verse 13. I was praying about what I would share. This is the Lenten season. You all know that. Some of us were at the Catholic Church on Friday eating fish. Sure sign of Lenten season. But there season to think about the cross, think about the sacrifice of Christ for us, really should be every day, shouldn't it? And that's a lot what this scripture is about. It's so central to our Christian faith. I used to have the privilege, every Palm Sunday I would make sure. Throughout the year, I would preach on different things about the cross, the blood, different aspects of it. But I used to make sure on every Palm Sunday, because if you waited till Wednesday night or Friday, most of the people weren't there. And so I wanted to get the message of the cross to God's people when most of them were there. Then on Easter Sunday, we'd generally preach about the resurrection. And so that's been on my heart. That was something that, and the cross is a central message to us. Everything that we receive in Christ comes through the portal of the cross. Was purchased for us on the cross. Well, I'm preaching my message before I even do the text. So let's get into this text here this morning. But I want to say this too. The message that I have is central to my life. I really, God convinced me of His reality through this passage of Scripture. I began reading the Bible, and when I got to these verses that we will read at the end of this passage, I said, I've never read any. I had a major in philosophy. I was a social studies philosophy major in college, and when I got to the end, I thought, I've read all these things, but my aunt said that the Bible was the Word of God. I was looking at a Bible on a dresser in our apartment. And I began to think about, that is such an astounding statement. The Word of God. This is not something somebody thought up, something somebody is experimenting with, something that somebody is studying. No, it is the Word of God. And that makes it so much different than the thoughts of man, the ideas of man, the books of man. The Word of God gives it authority, gives it life, and it comes from God, just the very idea of it. So I began reading it, and then I got to this portion of Scripture. And thought, I've never read anything like this. This is true. it hit me like a lead brick. It just grabbed a hold of my heart. And I reached out to God in prayer. I said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And he did. He made it real to me. Stand, if you would, to honor the word of God. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, and that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love today. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And it is a living word that speaks to our hearts and can change and transform our lives. So we ask that you would let it do that. Open our hearts today. Open our minds to receive it as the living word of God. Speak to us, God. And Father, we'll give you praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like to preach this in honor of somebody who's not here, but just tell you, later today at 2 o'clock, we're going to go to Trinity Church in Clarion and celebrate with Brother Selleck, my mentor. How many of you know Brother Selleck? Yeah. 98 years of life. And isn't that wonderful? And they're going to do a hymn sing for 2 hours and then have a little thing. But I came to the Lord just a few weeks before I knew who Brother Selleck was. And then I started going to his church. And he was a mentor to me. He was a model to me. And again, when I was thinking of what I was going to preach, I didn't have this all together, but I was thinking, when Brother Selleck could preach about identification with the cross, about carrying the cross, in such a beautiful way. It got a hold of my heart, got a hold of my life. I could sing songs that we used to sing years ago, come back to me about serving the Lord, about living for Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. How many of you remember that old song? They bring it back in different ways today, but just had a powerful impact, this man, upon my life. And I'm just so thankful to be able to go celebrate with him today. Thankful for his life. But he could preach about the cross. If there was a theme to the messages of his that he preached over and over again, it was about taking up your cross, serving the Lord, and living for him, and the idea that we are all called to bear a cross. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, that you and I are called. There's a call to bear our cross. That's the way Jesus puts it in this scripture. And that our life that we live for him is just that. And there's hymns about it and so forth. But while I say that, I want you to remember that there's two parts of that. When you bear the cross, you can wear the crown. There's a sequence of the supernatural where you go through the wilderness, you come to the promised land. You hide yourself like Elijah hid himself and was told of the angel, hide yourself and then show yourself. And when he hid himself, he was just by himself, fasting and so forth. But when he showed himself, miracles began to happen. There is a time to bear the cross, and there is a time for the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection does not come unless there's a bearing of the cross. Now, Jesus bore the cross for us. How many of you know that? And that's what we're going to talk about that today, what he did for us. But sometimes I think today, in our modern-day Christianity, it's all about what he did for us so that we can be blessed. I'm not against that. I'm going to preach on that. I'm not against that. I'm for that. I want that. I want the blessing. I want the resurrection. I don't want to have the cross without the resurrection. But so many times we miss the resurrection things because we have not lifted the cross. We haven't taken it up. And so I want to preach to you and to me. I need this message just as much as you need it today. That we could take up our cross and follow him. Is that Rick Buchanan back there with you, Joe? Good to see you, Rick. God bless you, brother. Rick was a pastor in the church down the road. I'm forgetting its name right now. Trinity Harvest for years, and we had fellowship together and were part of some meetings and so forth. Great to see you, Rick. So, let's look at this text, and let's look at the call of the cross. Jesus, in verses 13 through 20, says, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. But who do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father in heaven has revealed. How do we know God? We know God. You've heard me say this before, but I really want you to get it by revelation. You're not going to sit and figure out God. You're not going to come up with new ideas about God that nobody else knows. No, no, no. We have a revelation from God to man. It's called the Word of God. It's the Bible. And he reveals to us who he is and what he's like through his word. He reveals to us his commandments and his calls upon our life through his word. He reveals to us this word through the Spirit of God. If the Spirit does not open your eyes and open your mind and your heart to understand it, you won't get it. You'll say, what in the world is this out about? How many of you? I think Paul, this was one of your things. You tried reading the Word of God and couldn't understand it, and then God opened it up to you. How many of you have had that experience? Maybe at some time, you know, before you knew the Lord, you tried to read the Word of God, and it wasn't making any sense. And then all of a sudden, you yield your life to Jesus, and whoa, whoa. A new kingdom, a life I didn't understand and didn't know about. Power. I'll never forget that revelation of God, what I just shared to you, my testimony I began reading. That's how I came to the Lord. Reading the Word of God. And it opened up to me a whole new world, a whole new life, a whole new paradigm. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail upon it. Not upon Peter. The word Peter, the name Peter is translated stone. But the rock is a different word. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters that really love Jesus and really know God and read the Word of God. There are those. And I love them. But listen to me. Peter is not the rock. He is not the rock. And he wasn't even the first pope, if you really understand, you know. They may say that, but he is not the rock. Yes, he went to Rome. Yes, he was a foundational a person in the kingdom of God. His name, and you know, will be a part of that foundation in heaven, where the apostles, where that the temple of God is built upon. But he is not the rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Jesus is. Jesus is the rock of Peter's salvation. Upon this cornerstone, he's the cornerstone of the church. I will build my church. And this statement that Jesus, Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God, that he is God manifest in the flesh, that's the rock. When a church, a pastor, or people decide that Jesus was a wonderful teacher, Jesus was a wonderful person, that he was, that he had a lot of answers for us, but he was not God manifest in the flesh, then it's not the church. The pastor is in error. I don't care how much he knows, how smart he is, or anything else. Jesus and who he is as the Son of God. When there's anything that says otherwise, that diminishes who he is in that regard, that is in error. And I'll say the word, it's heresy. It's heresy. And so you can call yourself a church, you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but the church, the true church, is built upon that most fundamental belief that he is the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, and that he died for the sins of all who would believe, for the sins of the world. He rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. He will come again. He will come again. It's soon. It is soon when he will come again and rule in this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. After this discussion, and then he gives authority to Peter and to all believers. He says, I say unto you, you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build a church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you, to you the kingdom, keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose on heaven. And in that statement is the authority of the believer. You have authority over demonic powers. You have authority over the powers of darkness. You have authority over Satan and anything he would put on upon you. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to be in fear of Satan and of the powers of darkness. You should not be, because you're washed as a true believer. If you really believe in Jesus, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have the armor of God. All you have to do is stand up and use it and speak it and believe it. Somebody say amen. And so that's the authority that God has given you as a believer. There's so much more in the Bible about that. I won't go into that today. But it is a reality, a spiritual reality for believers. So he gives us that. Now, then he begins to say in verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem. Get that. The call of the cross. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So he's telling them about, we look at that in the past, and I just repeated what, you know, a moment ago, what our foundational belief is about that, but they hadn't seen it yet. It's in Isaiah 53, it's in Psalm 16, it's in Psalms 22, it's in so many other scriptures, this idea of the suffering servant. In fact, from Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 53 is all of the scriptures that Isaiah sends forth as a prophet of God about the suffering servant. And they're sown into those scriptures, scriptures that prophesy who Jesus would be, and not so much of how he would rule, but how he would suffer for the sins of people. Isaiah 53, just read it. It's amazing how Jewish people cannot see that scripture as being fulfilled in Jesus. But God has blinded their minds for now. Many of them are coming to the Lord. Many Jewish people and wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. But that is a scripture that clearly prophesies that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. He would die for the sins of all who would believe, that he would rise from the dead and have victory over the grave. So Jesus is telling them this. But who wants to hear that? Not Peter, certainly. And so Peter, he was right on about Jesus and who he was. And then right after it, he's way off. Now, what does the cross, the first question, I've got three questions. What does the cross, What did the cross mean to Jesus? The second question is, what does the cross mean to you and I? And the third is, what is the call of the cross for me? What is the call of the cross for me? What did the cross mean to Jesus? Jesus, when he's telling this to Peter, he says, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and then be risen from the dead. There was not an option here. We see on the night before Jesus was crucified that he prayed in Gethsemane, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Remove this pain. They knew what a cross was like. We really don't know. You've heard sermons about it. You've heard me and other preachers preach about the pains of the cross, both physical and spiritual. But probably until you've seen it, you have no idea. Until it's happened, and like so many other things, until it happens to you, you have no clue of what the pain involves, you know. You can't vicariously experience what the cross was all about. I must. Father, if it is your will, let me not drink this cup. If it is possible, if there's another way, but there is no other way for man to be saved. There is no other blood that could be spilt that would cleanse the sin of your life and of my life. There is no other blood. His blood was divine blood. It was not human blood. It was a blood like no other blood that has ever been. He lived a life like no other life could be lived. He loved like no other could love. And the cross, is how that love is revealed. You read about the cross and you realize that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, that he sent his son to the cross for you. For me, that you could experience peace with God. The joy of knowing, not hoping, knowing that you're going to heaven. The power of the resurrected life, of a new beginning, of being cleansed from every sin and stain. So, you know, I think about my sins. This weekend, last night they finished the NCAA wrestling championships. I record those. I love to watch them. But when I watch them, it brings back the past. I like to think about the times that I won. That I pinned somebody. I like to think about the incredible moves and wonderful athletic things I did when I wrestled. But you know what I wind up thinking about? The matches I lost. But not only brings that back to me, but it brings an old life back to me. Because I wasn't living for the Lord when I was wrestling in high school and college. I was living for my own ego. I was living for my own desires. I was like Peter. I had a mind on the world. And I have to confess, even after I've known Jesus, there's been times I've had a worldly mindset. I have to confess that sometimes even as a pastor, you know, I would think about things with a worldly mindset. Sometimes more about how many people are coming to church rather than how spiritually healthy everybody was. I confess that. How good things could be if God would do things my way. You're not going to the cross, Jesus. We got plans for you. You know? We got plans for you. We got plans for us. You're going to rule and reign as King of Kings. You're going to bring back the glory of Israel and of David. Oh, but God doesn't think like us. God doesn't plan like us. And I had plans. You know, at that point in life, just graduate and get a job teaching and be a wrestling coach, because I loved wrestling. It's strange, but I just love the techniques. I love everything about it, and had done that for, a good 9 or 10 years, been involved with it. And God had different plans for me. I was going to be a wrestling coach. I had an opportunity when I graduated, and I was ready to go to the Christian school. I had told Brother Selig, we'd begun to talk about that, and I had two teachers from Union City High School, where I graduated from, actually travel to Clarion, come down looking for me. They never found me. They never found me. And they were looking for me to tell me about a job opportunity in Fort LaBeouf High School in Waterford, PA, that a social studies position had opened up, and that I could go take that job and I could assist with the wrestling coach there, Art. It's coming to me. Only I would know it. Art Steves, who wound up being in the Hall of Fame. Fort LaBeouf was a great high school. Every year we wrestled them, we lost. I didn't lose. but everybody else, not everybody else, but our team lost, because they were a great powerhouse in wrestling in District 10. So I had that opportunity. And at the same time, God was calling me to the Christian school, where I could make $100 a week. And not all I could eat. And so I got, they never found me. They got a hold of me by phone this one time, or I called them because my mother got a hold of me and was telling. And I said, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I'm going to start this Christian school. Go start a school from scratch. God had a different plan. God, you know, and I thought about this as I was thinking about this weekend. I never became a wrestling coach, but I became a spiritual life coach. And I probably have coached more people than I ever would wrestling. And God has changed me while I did it. God has different plans. Some of you young people are in here wondering what, thinking about what you are going to do in your life. I want to tell you, God has a plan. God has a plan. And his plan is better. What did the cross mean to Jesus? It meant that he was going to suffer a substitutionary death. He realized he was the Lamb of God, slain for the sin of the world. He realized his blood was different, and that he needed to shed his blood to purchase our salvation. and bring our redemption, that salvation and the cross would bring healing to millions of people, physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing for those that believe in him. Every blessing and promise that we receive comes through the portal of the cross, and Jesus knew that. And through the resurrection, it meant that if he was not crucified, he could not be resurrected. And he had to walk through that to get to the resurrection. That guidance and deliverance, provision for this world's needs, and for us, an inheritance of the believer, all those things would come to us. And unless he went, unless he suffered, unless he sweat great drops of blood at Gethsemane, unless he had picked up his cross after being whipped with a cat of nine tails and carried it to Calvary, unless he did that, we would receive none of those things. There would be no peace with God. There would be no eternity in heaven for the believer. He knew all that because he'd been to heaven. He knew the Father's plan. Peter didn't know it. The apostles didn't know it. You and I had no clue. We weren't even born at that time, of course. But these were the things that Jesus knew. He knew that he would not be complete. See, Jesus was the Son of God before the world began. Jesus was the Son of God when he was born in the manger and worshiped by the kings and shepherds. Jesus was the Son of God when he began his ministry and healed the masses and spoke truth to the people. But he was not the Savior. Wasn't the Savior yet. See what I'm getting? Hebrews tells us he was perfected by his work on the cross. When he went to the cross and he rose from the dead, he became the Savior of the world, the Savior of creation. Because of the cross, one day our world will be changed. We won't have to worry about pollution. The creation groans, we're told in Romans 8, for that. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of every soul who believes in him. He's the Savior of all who don't believe, except for they will not receive it when they don't believe, because they don't believe. He is perfected in the cross and the resurrection. And all he has to do in those things is simply say, it's not true, I'm not the Son of God. If he had just said to the high priest and so forth, hey, sorry guys, I was just kidding about this Son of God thing, they wouldn't have crucified him. But he wasn't kidding. As believers, what does it mean to us, the cross? We are called to receive the blessings of the cross, the salvation of the cross, the peace with God through the cross, the joy of our salvation through the cross. We can go into the well of the waters of salvation and just lift the bucket again and again and again. And find joy in Jesus because he gave his life for us and he rose from the dead. And we're connected to him. For us, it means we can believe for and receive healing. For us, it means that we can know the power of his resurrection. That we can be changed. I've said this before, I just keep saying it, I'll say it again just to testify to the Lord. When I came to Jesus, I knew I needed I tried a bunch of things to change me, and they didn't work. But when I came to Jesus, gave my heart to him, and began reading the Word of God, things began to change. I don't always know how it happened, but it happened. That foul tongue that I had, that desire for drugs and alcohol, lustful desires began to leave. I had power over them to remove them from my life. Took a while for some other things, but anger, things that triggered anger in my life, began to leave. I changed. How I talked changed. How I acted changed. How I thought changed. I was transformed. I hope you experience. I know many of you have experienced that transformation. Raise your hands, shout hallelujah or amen or something. Salvation. Have you been healed by Jesus? Linda Hansford is teaching class on deliverance. The devil came out of my life in a lot of ways. I don't know how to completely explain it, but I know there is a deliverance in Jesus. That's what it means to us. Oh, now I'm warmed up. That's what it means to us. It means, like the Philippian jailer, you and your house can be saved. Not just you, but your house. Your house can be saved. Say, my house can be saved. Is there somebody in your house that's not saved? Let's get them saved. Let's get them saved. Let them know the real Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you. Start praying. Start believing. You and your house can be saved. Then we come to the call of the believer in those final verses, beginning with verse 24. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up my cross. No. Take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross. This was where Brother Selick would hit you, right between the eyes. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? No, the soul, your soul. The peace of your soul, the joy of your soul, what's going on in your soul is what's worth Jesus dying for. What will man give in exchange for a soul? See, when you take up your cross, Jesus took his cross up. When you take up your cross, there's an exchange that goes on. It's the exchanged life. I want to live for him who died for me. Russell doesn't matter anymore. Living for Jesus matters. What was it in your life? What is it in your life? What is God calling you to? Is there a call in your life? There is a call if you're a believer in Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I want to tell you that his call is better than your call, what you think. What he has in mind is better. But you have to let go. Imagine Jesus. He's whipped. He's bleeding. The Roman soldiers are about him. They put the crown of thorns upon his head. Pick up your cross. It takes all the strength that he has to get it up and to start toward Mount Calvary. But he says, wait a second. I want all this for everybody in the world. But, you know, I haven't been married yet. I'd like to be married. I haven't children, don't have children yet. And I'd love to have children. And, you know, I've been poor most of my life. We have read of no worldly treasures of Jesus. I'd like to have some money. So if I could just pick those things up too and carry the cross, I'd like to have something that I enjoy. I'd like to have a couple weeks in the Caribbean first. I'd like this. What you put something in there. No, he couldn't take anything else but the cross to Calvary. Now, how many of you know that you and I will never experience, when we take up our cross, what Jesus experienced when he took up his cross? We will never experience that. It's just too much. I don't think I could contain that. I'm just quite sure. Just know, I could maybe carry a cross for a while. Even at my old age, I'm pretty fit. But I couldn't bear the sin of the world. I don't think I could take half of the physical end of what he took. No. See, my cross is not his cross. But he says he must take up his cross or her cross. You have a cross that is custom made for you. It's custom made. And when you take it up, you have to lay everything else down. Everything. Now, I'm not saying you have to hear God on this. Because what the cross is, A.W. Tozer, makes it pretty clear in his book, Pursuit of God. What the cross is, no, the Root of the Righteous. What the cross is simple obedience to God. God may want you to give up all worldly possessions. In reality, everything. But he may not. He may want you to sacrifice something, maybe food and fasting for a certain time, at certain times of your life. He may not. Because his cross for everybody is different. He calls you to some life call. He may call you to be a preacher, a pastor, evangelist, or a teacher, or an apostle. He may call you to have a special ministry, but he may call you to do something that nobody ever sees, nobody knows about, but it's your ministry. It's your cross. It's something in your life that's going to change you. It's something that it requires simple obedience. A lot of blessings in this world. Remember, resurrection, you and I in this life, it's the sequence of the supernatural. We experience cross experience. We experience resurrection experiences. That's why I can, without guilt, go to the Caribbean for a couple weeks. That's a resurrection for me. There's good things. There's good things that will come in your life that God wants in your life, but they come out of the obedience of picking up your cross. You can't compare your cross to somebody else's cross. If you compare it to Jesus, all you can say is, his was a lot more.
His is amazing. His is wondrous. His is beautiful. His is the love of God to me. But you can say, well, you know, John there, his cross is a lot easier than my cross, Lord. Why don't you make his cross like mine or mine like his? No, I don't think so. First of all, it's a terrible assumption for me to think that his cross is easier. I haven't walked in his shoes. You can't look at somebody else's cross. People do this all the time in the church. Just let that go. It's not somebody else's cross that is important to God. It's yours. It's you taking it up every day and saying, this is the day I'm walking with Jesus, carrying my cross. This is the day I will be obedient to the Lord. I will serve the Lord. I will do what he has called me to do, not necessarily what I want to do. Like I said, there's lots of times he has good things for you. But there's times when duty calls. And you're following the duty. You know, we've made duty a bad word in the church because everything's grace. Everything should feel, you should always be comfortable in your seat. Are you comfortable when you come to worship with us? I hope you feel just cozy. No, good preachers come to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen? Sometimes we got to be called to a little bit more than comfort. There's a cross to bear if you're going to wear the crown. There's a cross to walk with Jesus. There's power in the end of it. There's reward in the end of it. That cross was made for you. It's lighter than Jesus. That's the only cross that you should compare your cross with. Because you will always say when you compare yours with his, oh boy, is my cross light. It's not that bad. I will do it because he loved me so. Your cross is made to kill you. I hate to tell you that. It's made from the moment a person picked up the cross in the Roman culture, in the Roman way, they were legally considered dead. Not important what you think anymore. It's not important what you want anymore. You're dead. You're going to die. Nothing's going to stop that. The cross has come to kill things that might keep you out of heaven. The cross has come to kill things that are in your mind and not in God's mind. The cross is made to kill things that you continue to wrestle God with. The cross is made to kill sin. And sin that is particular in your life. The cross is made to bring a full surrender of your life to Jesus. Because that's what Jesus had to do. Full surrender. When you pick up your cross, there are times when your cross will seem like a great injustice to you. Just like when Jesus picked up his cross, it was the world's most unjust thing. That he who had no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. It's not fair, God. Why me, God? Why does this happen when I'm just trying to serve you, to live for you, and I have to go through this? Why is this person against me? Why is this attack coming? Why does it seem that when I'm trying to love people, they hate me? It isn't fair. It's not just. The weight might seem too heavy. It's the weight of the world. The pain. We're surprised that in our Christian life sometimes that we experience different kinds of pains. But pain, this pain is the pain of the cross. For Jesus, it was incomprehensible pain. Nobody likes pain. Anybody here like pain? None of us do, but how many times I have suffered pain as a person and found that that pain brought something new to my life, a new strength. Most of the time after I'm done with it, a new power, a new paradigm. If it was pain that was given to Jesus and a part of the cross, pain that changes us. The pain of Jesus' cross was hell's pain for you. Because that's what separation from God is. He was separated. Why have you forsaken me? That's what separation from God is. It's hell. I've never been there in my walk with Jesus. So there is a cross that you are called to. That cross will yield joy in your life. I look back on so much of my life in ministry since I knew the Lord. And I think of some of the things that changed me, some of the pains that changed me. Rejection, when I first knew the Lord, by my friends that I was hanging with at the time. Rejection from a few girlfriends. But look at the girlfriend God gave me. I mean, you can't be God. You know, you just can't be God. But those pains changed me. I remember walking home from Clarion to Strattonville one night, and I chewed snuff, as you know, when I first got saved, and I'd just been rejected. I was talking it over with Jesus on the way home. I started thinking about different things and started thinking about the reality of God, who He was, and prophecies of Israel, and all this stuff flooding my mind. I thought, this is it. I took that snuff out. That was harder than drugs that I had taken. That was harder than alcohol to get rid of. This is it. And that was the last time. Victory. Because of some pain that was in my life. I think of pains over the years with friendships, with people that I've loved, different pains that came my way because I was just trying to obey the Lord. And I think sometimes how I had to forgive people. How I had to sometimes forgive myself for the dumb things that I did. I had to learn to forgive people that said things or did things that hurt me. And that's a cross. But the freedom of that forgiveness
was healing for me. Healing and health to my mind and my heart. And when I think, you know, you can think about some of those things a little bit, but, you know, there's no animosity. It's not there, and seldom do I ever think about. I have a tendency to look back on those wrestling things more, you know. Then I think about the walk with God that I've had. Aaron was talking about the Word of God yesterday and what it does when we read. And the joy that I receive from just reading the Word, the joy that I receive from people I know are following Jesus. And maybe I've had some impact on them. The joy of fellowship with different people in God. That is a resurrection, my friend. That is a resurrection. There's no cross you bear. You see, the last thing that Jesus said, I've wondered about this. It came to me as I was reading it. Why did he, all of a sudden in verse 27, he says, "For when the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father and his angels, then he will reward each according to his works." What works? Just when you obeyed him and bore your cross. That work. That's the work. That's why he went there. There's a reward for you. There's joy on the other end of your cross. And sometimes those are just times you go through that you know those are cross times. You're trying to be obedient to the Lord. Then it comes. The resurrection comes. There's a reward many times here on earth. But the further you get down the road, the better it gets. Can somebody say amen? It gets better. It gets more wonderful. And someday we will pass through this life to the next. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can we get up that hymn at the end? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? If we could have the worship team maybe follow up after we sing this. I'm going to try to sing this right, but we're just going to do it a cappella. Could we all stand together? If during this song or afterwards, if God is speaking to you, I just see somebody here today that you need to decide to follow Jesus. I've told you some of the tough parts of following Jesus today, but I'm telling you like it is, and I'm telling you it's worth it. I'm telling you there is a reward for you, and there's meaning in it when you follow Jesus, take up your cross and follow him. It's not always easy. I'm not painting a completely pretty picture here. I'm painting a crucified picture here, but a resurrection picture. And so if God's been speaking to you and there's something you got to obey God in, in your life that may not be easy, I want to tell you he has a reward for you in that. And you may want to just spend some time around the altar and telling the Lord, yes. Yes, I determine in my heart to follow you in a matter or follow you in my life. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to come here today during this altar call and kneel before God and say, I'm here, Lord, to receive you into my life. I'm here for you. It'll transform you.